KPCW News Time now, 8:28. Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the KPCW Local News Hour. Well, with the ski season winding down, we invited the director of the historic Park City Lions, Allison Butts, in for a recap of how business and parking on Main Street was. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Leslie.
So what are you hearing from businesses? A good season?
It was a great season. Yeah, remarkable with regards to, you know, just with our winter conditions. I think the Chamber did a great job of continuing to push Park City in the marketplace, and we saw great visitation. The Main Street businesses, I've heard from many that they've had excellent years and that perhaps this is even one of their best years. We did see a really strong February. Beginning of March was great, and then it did start to taper off, which I think we saw everywhere around town. But I feel like those first kind of few months of winter were able to keep people on track and make it through the winter. So I don't think anyone's in dire straits at this point.
Yeah, well, we can't attribute it to great snow because, I mean, we had snow. We had beautiful sunny days.
Oh,
I mean, and tourists, we know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
Still, at the same time, I mean, can we attribute it then to just the Epic Pass, people finding out what Utah's all about?
You know, I don't know. If you look at the tax generation from Main Street over the years, even last year was one of our higher years. We were higher than where we were in 2007. So, you know, we're on this upward swing. Whether or not, you know, we still haven't received, the first quarter tax numbers, and we won't for a few more weeks. But, you know, whether or not we're on a steady trajectory or did it jump even higher, we'll need to see that. So at this point, I'd say we were just on a growing trajectory anyway. Whether or not the Epic Pass has made a difference, I think it's yet to be seen. But I think it has been a positive piece, a positive marketing piece for Park City.
All right. Well, the city had put parking regulations into the downtown area here last fall. How did those work?
Well, some worked great, some didn't work. What we were trying to do is we were trying to allow those spaces closest to Main Street, whether they were on Main Street or the lower levels of China Bridge, available for guests. We want to be able to accommodate everyone that wants to come. But as well, we have a significant number of employees that work on a day-to-day basis on Main Street. On a busy night, we have over 1,000 employees on Main Street, and that's a huge number. And when we're looking at only about 1,300 parking spaces in the district, it's hard to make that math work. So what we had done is we had put in regulations as far as the ability to move your car to a new space in China Bridge and restart the clock was taken off the table. So employees who were parking longer than 6 hours either had to buy a pass or they needed to park on the top level of China Bridge. We did see successful movement of employees to the top level of China Bridge, North Marsac Lot, and Sandridge. So we were starting to make those lower spaces accessible. But one piece we had put into place was an employee shuttle lot. That shuttle lot was at Treasure Mountain Junior High, and that was operational on Fridays and Saturday nights. We had an employee direct bus that would go straight to Main Street, to the Transit Center, to move those employees. We never saw any use of that. And we know that had we had an employee lot that could be available during the days, could be available every day of the week, we possibly could have seen some increased use. We know we need to continue to look at that factor. We need to look at how we can make that work better. But at this point, we don't have a solution.
Yeah, so have you done any kind of employee survey?
We had done some surveys going into last summer, and then through last summer we had done the incentive program. We're going to be wrapping that back around this spring and really starting to talk about parking again. What I don't want to have happen is have regulations and new pieces put into place at the last minute. I'd like to be able to talk about them ahead of time. I'd like to know about them, say, the end of September, October, so that we can communicate that message clearly and easily and allow people time to think about how they want to how they want to park, how they want to get to Main Street. And so those discussions are going to be ongoing. It is a high topic for our organization.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, I mean, Main Street employees may have moved out of the lower levels of China Bridge, but those places where locals kind of know to go to park, as you mentioned,
absolutely,
North Marsac, I mean, there was nothing ever available because they were being taken out.
They were. And the thing is, we were able to have the parking department do counts, not just on weekends, but on weekdays. And we were seeing in February on weekdays, we were maxing out parking on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, on a Thursday. And so that's difficult. I know that when people come up, locals or visitors, they come up, they want to enjoy a great experience, they can't park. It means that they're going to think about a different activity to do next time they're looking at something to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, what is it going to take to get people on a bus? Because you've made it pretty simple to come out of the school.
Absolutely. You know, when I looked at regulations for other towns, whether it's Fort Collins or Boulder or anything else, how do they incentivize their employees to use the bus? The biggest thing they do is they reduce the rate for the employees. They buy them a bus pass. Our bus is free. So I can't reduce that anymore. I can't pay them to ride the bus. We looked at that. It's not cost effective. Unfortunately, what typically happens in towns is that there are incentives and there are disincentives. And one disincentive that is being talked about is paid parking in China Bridge. Unfortunately, while it's a disincentive and what it's supposed to do is get people to use an alternative form of transit, it also has the perception that we don't want locals or we don't want people or, hey, now that you're paying for Main Street, now you can pay for parking and we'll make more revenue. And that's not how or why we would ever want paid parking to go into China Bridge. I think it needs to be part of a discussion and it needs to be part of a holistic approach. It needs to be part of an employee lot. It needs to be part of additional transportation for visitors and it needs to be part of an overall system. And so I'm encouraging the discussions as they move forward that we're not just looking at individual pieces set aside by themselves, but we're looking at it holistically. And again, it's going to be part of the discussion as we move forward.
So that's really what's next is just more discussion to figure out what we're going to do next winter.
Absolutely. I think we're going to be able to hopefully hold it together this summer. But last summer we did have, you know, weekdays where the parking capacity was met. So, you know, if we can come up with some solutions for summer, that would be great. But Kent Cashel did an update to the city council both last week and this week of some plans that are going forward with traffic management and transportation. A lot of those plans are going to be coming with recommendations in the fall. So this summer we don't seem to have an active planning process for alternative transportation at this point.
Park City Council last night discussed the future of the Brewpub parking lot. What would the HPCA like to see there?
Oh, we would love to see a plaza. When we started our plans back in 2010 to talk about the improvements to Main Street and what we're seeing now are the sidewalk improvements we've seen, crosswalks on Sweet Alley, part of it was to add plazas both at the top and bottom of Main Street to really have attractions, to draw traffic up and down the street the entire length. We feel like it would be a benefit to those businesses located up there, as well as perhaps provide a space for events to be held where they don't have to close the street. We have been working with the city on making sure that when events come to Main Street and they ask to close the street, that it's a significant number of people coming. But a lot of local events don't draw that many people, but we'd still love them on Main Street. So I think it'll provide a venue for that. We're very excited that the council is in favor of a two-phased approach, allowing the underground parking to be built in 2016, allowing a little bit more time for planning and then construction in 2017.
So aren't we building a plaza, though, right below KPCW here? How many plazas do we need?
The plaza in front of City Hall stairs is called a plaza. At this point, the size of it and its location is not ideal for event use. It was something that the Historic Park City Alliance did not support as a high priority. If it was something that the council wanted to do later on, after all our high priorities were done, then we were willing to support it. But we had asked the city council to put that on hold and to be able to fund our high priorities first. We did not see a decision that met our goals.
All right. We'll bring you back to talk a little bit about some of the Main Street improvements that are planned for this summer and how disruptive those are going to be. But I want to just also note that you're the director of the Prospector Property Owners Association. You had held an open house recently to preview design plans. So where do things stand there?
Absolutely. We've been meeting with our consultants, Logan Simpson Design. They're out of Salt Lake. We are about 20% left of work on that plan. We had an open house on February 24th. We received great comments both at our open houses as well as on our website survey. We're really excited moving forward. We're looking at, again, improvements to Prospector Square. We're not looking at adding development, adding more density, but how can we make it more walkable? How can we make it more enjoyable? And how can we make it more aesthetically pleasing? So we're excited to see those plans come back. We're hoping to bring those to our board in April and then start to share those with our community. And then we'll work on funding sources.
So do you have the property owners on board with this, need to renovate?
We have them updated, but we're waiting for that final cost analysis. The budgets that we saw on the plans that were shown in February between $2 and $4 million, We're hoping that we're going to come in right around there as well. I'm going to do some double checks with local contractors to make sure that we have a good estimated budget. And then, as well, we'll need to then circle back with the property owners and make sure they're, again, still supportive of that project.
Yeah, you were hoping to work with Park City Municipal, I think, as well. Maybe come up with some funding mechanism?
Yes, the Special Improvement District was one idea. Unfortunately, there have been some changes in regulations, so monies that are raised through a Special Improvement District cannot be used for private property improvements, and that's what we've got. But there are plenty of our improvements that we're looking at that are on public property. The reconstruction of Prospector Avenue and adding more wider sidewalks, adding better lighting, perhaps some vegetation, changing up the street parking. Those are all things that are within the city realm. They've been very good about talking to us about that, and I think when this final plan comes in, we'll be seeing what's on city property, what's on our property, and how can we work together.
Okay, anything else you wanted to mention?
Nope.
All right, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Leslie.
That's Allison Butts, again, Executive Director of the Historic Park City Alliance, as well as the Prospector Property Owners Association. KPCW Newstime, 8:39. Stay tuned. We'll be talking with City Council Member Tim Hinton. KPCW Newstime, now 8:39. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. Joining me now in the studio, Park City Council Member Tim Henney. Good morning.
Hi, Leslie.
Let's kick it off with transportation, some discussion at yesterday's meeting about transportation. Any idea about what we're going to see in terms of this year and next year with transportation plans?
Yeah, the short-term stuff is going to be more variable signs. Actually, not more variable signs, but instead of hauling them around on a trailer, we're going to try to embed them or plant them permanently. And transportation is working with UDOT to figure out how we can do that. So that's one step.
Signs basically to say parking's full or, you know,
yeah,
use the high school parking lot.
Right, those message boards that you see, we have those on the entrances, both on 224 and 248, and on Deer Valley Drive, just assisting with kind of the parking and congestion issues in Park City and directing people. So that's one. Tying into UDOT's network, their data and information network, and putting some more cameras around Park City so that we can actually see what's happening at intersections and not have to have, I guess you would call it boots on the ground, people at the intersections like police officers. It's much more effective if you can actually tweak the signaling, and we would have the ability to do that. So if we can tie in to UDOT's existing network and put more cameras in place, it allows us to have a mini control center where somebody could actually address issues real time and tweak signaling to help with those, they call them key events. Yeah. One of our concerns is we're having more and more key events, and we use the one of last December 29th as kind of the example. But if you look at the patterns that are occurring, we have very high patterns in the middle of the summer. July, August, and September are now meeting our peak winter times. And you have anything that goes out of whack, and we're going to have more of these peak or key events of congestion. And that's a huge concern. And that's on top of, that's the reality today. And then you take into account the entitled growth that is coming our way from not only within the city, but also on the outskirts of the city. And we have to get very aggressive on these issues. So that's the near-term plan.
And what about the long-term then?
Long-term has to do with satellite parking, dedicated rapid bus transit lanes, those sorts of things. But that's going to take time to implement. That's going to take more studying. I hate to say studying, but transportation is all about studying. And it is about studying because it is so complex and intricate and ties into every aspect of what we do here in town that the studies actually are critical so that we know the demographic that we're trying to address and we actually understand we can understand in the best detail possible the true problem that we're trying to address, because it gets very convoluted.
Yeah, but you could study forever and ever.
Why
not just implement some changes, you know,
well,
like paid parking in China Bridge, looking for some parking lots there at
Kimball. That is happening. Yeah, the peak parking is happening in China Bridge. We've already implemented that, and we're going to continue with that sort of situation. And we're going to, you know, free parking and paid parking in combination is a very powerful tool. So to use paid and freed intelligently and mesh them properly will be a very powerful tool in our town, and we're doing that. So that's another near-term solution that's already being implemented.
Okay. The trip to Whistler, the council decided to scale back, hold back. So you're not going or maybe
no,
going?
No, we're, you know, it was brought up last night that maybe we don't know enough about Whistler, and it was a work session, so we were just gaining that initial look and the idea. The concept was thrown out a couple of weeks ago. Staff came back with kind of a first look, and here's what it might look like if we chose to go. But now we're drilling down. We've asked staff to go back and make sure that, number one, some of the things that Whistler does would actually be applicable here in Park City, so we want to make sure that we're not just going off and looking at something that's done wonderful things but we could never accomplish here. And the second thing is just to make sure that their claims, or you know, what we heard, which is 75% of their workforce housing is within Whistler city limits, is actually true. So we want to confirm some things and make sure that we have something to go look at if we choose to go.
So do you think you'll make it this summer? Or?
Well, I think there's a good chance that it would happen this summer if staff comes back and says that they've checked off these boxes and, you know, it looks like, and we decide that it looks like it's worthwhile pursuing and interesting. It could happen this summer. And I'd say it's 50-50 this summer versus next year. And I'd also say it's 50-50 whether there's interest in going or not.
All right. Discuss the economic development strategic plan. I'm hoping to attract certain types of business. I mean, is that reality that you think you can do that? And
well, there's an organic thing that's happening here in Park City already. If you use soul polls as, you know, the case study, I mean, that fits into our you know, our resort focus, right? Because they complement, they're doing poles for skiing at this end, and they're employing locals, and it's a local business that's manufacturing, and it's a low impact manufacturing. We don't want to bring big manufacturing. We don't want to do things, this is the perfect term, Liza used it, that conflict with the ethos of the community. And for me, that's the crucial criteria. If you put a big ball around this idea and you say, okay, any business that does not conflict or doesn't conflict with the ethos of the community, let's look at them. Well, I think that's pretty broad. And I wanted to make sure that it was broad because my concern is we could be limiting ourselves by saying we only want to look at things that fit with our resort, you know, with our ski resort. Well, we've got a summer resort here also. We have culture. We have a lot of things happening here that might limit some of those if we put that kind of very strict criteria on. So it was broadened out to anything that would fit into that community ethos. I think that's fabulous. And we have We have a couple of businesses in the pipeline that are more of that organic. You know, we're not going out and recruiting them. They're looking at us anyway, and I think that's really interesting because for the first time, we are competing as a place to locate for businesses that I don't believe we've ever competed with before. And they've always gone to places like San Francisco, or they've stayed on the East Coast in Cambridge because they come out of MIT, or they've gone to Silicon Valley. Now they're looking at Park City and saying, why not? And if we can encourage that and if we can incentivize that and seed it a little bit and help with the why not to become a, yeah, let's do it, that's what we're looking at.
So is the city going to be able to make any more of those $20,000 grants?
I think so.
Or is it still just one a year, or can you think you can do more?
No, we decided that the grant program should be increased, and the term that we love to use at staff and on council is more robust. So we would like a more robust granting program. And I think Jonathan has a couple of ideas that he'll be bringing to us in the not-too-distant future. And I think it's likely that we will be making some additional grants this year.
Okay, and looking at the brew pub, council deciding to do what? I mean, it sounded like a lot of new ideas were thrown out, maybe a marketplace.
You know, I don't think it was new ideas. It was kind of just making sure that the old ideas are still in place and haven't changed over time because this did get delayed. It was scheduled initially for 2014, got pushed back because of the gondola discussions with Deer Valley. So it was kind of revisiting those initial conceptual ideas, and they were reaffirmed. We want it to be an event plaza on the street level from Main Street, and then there should be, we want there to be parking below, and we're looking at the possibility of two levels of parking. One level would give us 40 spaces, two levels would give us 60. There are currently 48 spaces, so if we went one, we'd be losing additional spaces. With this plaza, the Marsac Plaza, right by the KPCW studios, we're going to lose six spaces. So if we did go down two and gain that additional 20, even though it's not a huge gain for a pretty big expense to go down a second level, we would be replacing spaces that we are losing through these upgrades and, you know, kind of redos of plazas around town. And we've heard consistently that there has been kind of a slow trickle in loss, or a nitpicking of, not nitpicking, but we're losing space by space over time. And this would be a way to kind of add back in what we have lost over the last 8 or 10 years and kind of get back to where we were, which I think is a good idea. I'm not a fan of adding parking because I think that facilitates and enables the use of cars. Certainly not a fan of standalone parking, but that brew pub lot is not standalone parking. It has an event plaza, which would be very critical to Upper Main Street and a tremendous addition to what we can do on the street.
So what about $35,000 a spot? This is going to be a Park City Municipal financed project?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to come from the RDA. Yeah. Or incremental resort tax. We have the funding in place to do it. But yeah, it's an expensive program, but it's a high priority. It's one that's been targeted as a high priority for a long time, and it did get complete support to continue.
Okay, real quick, wanted to ask you, you did hear during public comment a few folks addressing the transportation portion of Mountain Accord.
Yes, we had prop night last night. Dictionaries, apples, and train engineer hats.
Yeah. I mean, you've always said, you know, the Mountain Accord is a lot more than just transportation, but this seems to be the issue of most concern.
Well, yeah, and just like in Park City, you know, we have a lot of other issues, but everything tends to eventually start to weave around transportation because it extends out into every other thing that we do here. So that's the same with Mountain Accord. I mean, it is the big nut. Yeah. Okay.
Did they have any ideas, though, that you can move forward with?
No, not particularly. I mean, you know, we had one comment about a term corridor being used, and that was where the dictionary came in and talking about a corridor from the Cottonwood Canyons to Park City, and that immediately gets tied into a train. Well, a corridor is a pathway by definition, and that can be many, many things, not just a train. So asking to take a corridor out of the language and put destination in, you know, is... I don't know. I don't think that makes a whole lot of sense. Corridor is just fine because it's pathway. It's when you define the mode of the pathway that you get into the details. And this community is very concerned about that mode being a train. If you put aerial transit in and you didn't let people out on the ridge so you wouldn't disturb watershed and backcountry skiing, you'd have a pretty amazing corridor pathway mode of transportation, in my personal opinion.
Okay, Tim, I need to leave it at that. Thanks for your time.
You bet, Leslie. Thanks.
It's Park City Council Member Tim Henney. KPCW News Time now, 8:52. Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. The Park City Institute held its annual sponsor party for the upcoming summer season at the Deer Valley Amphitheater. In the studio with details is Institute Director Terry Orr. Good morning, Terry.
And good morning to you, Leslie.
So, a success last night?
It was a great success, yes.
It raised... what, a quarter of the money that it takes to run something like that?
Well, this is a very expensive summer for us, so no, but we got well on the way.
Okay, so can you give us an idea of who's coming when?
I sure can. We're going to start June 30th, and we're going to kind of get the party started with Smash Mouth, Toad the Wet Sprocket, and Tonic. So great big fun show there on a Tuesday night. Then we're going to move into the Thursday night because this year the 4th of July is on a weekend, and so this Thursday night is the 3rd and starts the weekend off. And we're going to do what's called a Taste of Treme, and all of these performers performed it sometime together on the television show Treme. So we have the Dirty Dozen Brass Band, we have Funky Meters, and it's the first time we've ever brought someone from the main stage to Deer Valley, and that's Lucia Micarelli. So it's going to be, a really high-energy, fun show. Then July 16th, Warren Haynes with Government Mule. So those folks who are big fans of the Newgrass, Bluegrass, Jam Band sound, that's a great show for us. Rolling Stone calls him one of the 100 greatest guitarists of all time. So big fun. July 23rd, also a Thursday night before the 24th weekend gets started. Great young, hot country star, Easton Corbin, will be headlining, and with a whole bunch of number one hits right now, along with Parma Lee, also a whole bunch of number one country hits. So we know we have a big country audience, and that should be a fun show for that day. We'll move to July 30th, which is another Thursday night. This has just been an interesting coincidence, the way they lined up in July. And we're going to call this show Women We Love. It is Anna Wilson, who some folks may remember from being a part of the Park City Jazz Festival years ago. Perla Battaglia, who we had on the main stage a couple of times when we first opened the Eccles Center. And Esperanza Spalding will headline that night. She won a Grammy 2 years ago for Best New Artist, and this will be an interesting evening of a variety of styles of great women doing great music. Then we're going to have a tight turnaround, and the following Tuesday, a Tuesday night, you know, often a tricky night to do a show, but when you can have Grace Potter and the Nocturnals be that Tuesday night, I think we're guaranteed we'll have a great audience. Lots of folks know they are a great young new band. Huffington Post just called them the best young band you're not yet listening to. So that'll be fun to be able to present them. August 15th is a Saturday night. We start to get into our Saturdays, and we're going to class it up, and we're going to bring two performers together who have never headlined before, violinist Joshua Bell and horn player Chris Bodie. So great big night with those two folks. Then the following Saturday, August 22nd, is the Gypsy Kings. A lot of fun, and we haven't had them for years, and we had an opportunity to bring them up, and so we are going to do that. On August 29th, another Saturday night, former football player from Rutgers University, former singer-songwriter in Nashville, now number one country star, number one hits, is Lee Bryce, so he'll be that Saturday night. And then on the Sunday, the night before Labor Day, on September 6th will be Aloe Black, and just nominated this year for Rhythm and Blues. Started out as a rap soul singer and has a really interesting journey, musical journey. And he just spoke and performed at the TED conference a few weeks ago and kind of wowed that crowd.
All right. So you got 10 shows?
10 shows.
That's about what you've been doing the last year or so?
Just last year. Mm-hmm. So there was some question whether we would rally, and we'll have to figure out a lot of time off for the staff.
Yeah. So tickets go on sale when?
Tickets go on sale to members on Monday, April 6th. And so that's this Monday. And being a member is just a $30 contribution. So if you haven't yet become one, it's pretty easy to do. If you become a $150 member, for that allows you in the summertime early entrance into Deer Valley for if you're a lawn-seated person.
Okay.
Tickets range from $40 to $45 on the lawn and start at $55 to $65 in reserved.
All right. You don't do punch passes for these shows?
We do. Oh. We do punch passes. I'm sorry. I should have mentioned that. And they are, I don't have that information in front of me, but they will be available only to members this year. So again, $30 contribution to have the advantage of a big savings on those punch cards.
All right. And then the tickets open for non-members when?
On the following 2 weeks after that, what that Monday is, April
20th, probably, yeah.
There you go. Thanks.
All right. And then you've got the rest of the main stage season this month.
We have a show every Saturday night, all in April, and Mum & Chance has been on the air this week. They're great fun, and they've done some amazing outreach. 4 hours at the Colville School and 4 hours at the Park City Day School this week. So really intensive workshops. Next week is Hot Sardines, you know, the hottest new young jazz band, but jazz from the 20s, 30s, 40s, so it takes you back. If you are a fan of Neil Gaiman, I think by Monday we're going to declare that show sold out. So if you don't have a ticket, there are some tickets left, and you should grab them now.
I think that's fascinating. I mean, he's going to get up and read and talk.
Well, Doug Fabrizio is going to interview him, but he is a storyteller, absolutely. And we've done well with authors, but we've never done this well. He certainly has a great fan base. And then we're going to end with the stunning Alonzo King Ballet Company out of San Francisco. We say ballet, but of course it's a very modern contemporary ballet. And Alonzo King is an award-winning choreographer, and he'll be accompanying the troupe when they come.
Okay. Echocenter.org, that's where tickets will be available?
Well, in the summer, it's Big Stars Bright Nights, and that I want to thank the Whitneys for getting that site up. It's up right now, so if you didn't catch everything that we said here, you can go there and find it.
Okay. Terry, thanks.
Thanks, Leslie.